Thank you all for being here. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the work I've been doing with the crepe myrtle aphid and its host plant, crepe myrtle. Crepe myrtle aphids are, for the most part, host-specific. They only feed within the genus Logostrimia for the most part. Few plants outside, not very many. They are holocyclic, meaning they go through this egg stage. And interestingly enough, as compared to most of the aphid species we have problems with, all of the adults are winged except for the sexuals in the fall and the fundatrices that you see in the spring. They are attacked by a host of natural enemies that include insect generalist predators and more of the specific aphid predators. And another interesting aspect of this aphid species is new parasitoids that have been found either during foreign exploration or here in the United States. The damage that crepe myrtle aphids cause is primarily aesthetic, which is a problem because this is an ornamental plant and people do not like it when their leaves turn black from sooty mold and then fall off of the tree. However, we don't believe that this has a permanent fitness cost on the plant because if the defoliation happens early in the season, the plant flowers and refoliates, and if it happens late in the season, the next season it flushes out with new foliage and it blooms just as beautifully as it did the year before. Few previous things that have been done with this is the effect of cultivar and parentage on the host plant susceptibility, and this is in the field. This was done by Mizell and Knox in 1993. And there was also a study done by Alverson and Allen in 1992 on the suitability. And we'll get a little bit more into these terms a little bit later in the presentation. When we talk about the crepe myrtles that are grown in the United States, we have cultivars that are from pure Logostrimia indica, pure Logostrimia farii, and then we have some hybrids that have been made. The problem with the original cultivars brought in Logostrimia indica is they were susceptible to this powdery mildew. The Logostrimia farii are resistant to powdery mildew, and the hybrids are also resistant to powdery mildew. The problem with this is that Mizell and Knox in 1993 found that this made them more susceptible to aphid attack. So the major things that we wanted to know is host plant suitability related to susceptibility? And when I say suitability in this talk, I refer to no choice conditions where we've caged them on plants. And susceptibility, we're talking about field populations. We want to know if host suitability is related to field susceptibility and what mechanisms might be responsible for this. So we did an experiment similar to Alverson and Allen, where we took excised leaf tissue and we cut 40 millimeter leaf discs out of it. We sterilized them in some bleach water and put them on individual auger plates. We started four different clonal lines by collecting a fundatrix off of four different cultivars in the field. We reared them and their offspring exclusively on the cultivar in which they were collected from. We used seven cultivars of crepe myrtle, and we used what we call four different pedigrees. We used pure L. indica cultivars, which are the Carolina Beauty and the Byers White up here, respectively. And we have three different separate lines of germplasm for the L. indica L. farii hybrids that are currently grown in the US. We have a line that comes from seedlings, which corresponds to Natchez and Sioux up here in the list. Those were come up with at the National Arboretum by a breeding program started by eGolf in the 80s. We also have two cultivars which are from this Basham's Party Pink line. This is a cultivar that magically appeared in Texas. Nobody knows exactly where it came from. It is a natural hybridization. We think it's related to the seedlings line because it was discovered after the seedlings were brought to the US. We have a third L. indica L. farii line from cuttings collected on the Yakushima River in Japan, and we know that this line is completely separate from the seedlings and the Basham's Party Pink. We reared the four clones that we collected on Natchez, Byers White, Appalachie, and Tuscarora because these are tall cultivars, one from each one of these four pedigrees. The experimental design was a split plot where we used plant as a whole plot factor, and we used disc within the subplot factor. The daily fecundity was measured. We did repeated measures on that. We were able to total that, and so we also looked at total fecundity. We found there was no difference for the clones in daily fecundity. They didn't show any difference in total fecundity. The cultivars showed no difference in daily fecundity. but the cultivars showed difference in total fecundity. So what we did is we redid the experiment to make sure that we were dealing with what we thought we were. We eliminated Factor as a clone, we reared all of our aphids on a single cultivar, and we replaced the leaf discs weekly because in our previous experiment, the leaf disc was there for the entire experiment. We used the combined analysis and PROC-GLM. Again, we had differential replication, so we had to do some random variables to get the correct degrees of freedom for our hypothesis testing. What we found is that there were dramatic differences in year. Again, there was no difference in daily fecundity, but there was differences in total fecundity. And at this point, we wanted to look at these differences in pedigree and in mature plant height. So we devised a set of orthogonal contrasts where we were able to look at what's going on with Logostrimia indica versus all of the hybrids. And we found that they were different. We did not find differences within the germplasm lines of the hybrids. We were also able to look at medium versus tall plant height, since each of these had that within their respective group, except for Apalachee, which is also the only widely grown cultivar of this particular line of germplasm. We found that they were different in the L. indica and the Basham's Party Pink lines, and interestingly enough, they're inverse to each other. We found that total fecundity is dependent on longevity in days, or at least highly correlated, which makes sense for an aphid because it has offspring on a daily basis. This asymptotal area up here is where they appear to run out of the ability to produce more offspring. If you continue to give them fresh leaf material, put them on a fresh plant, they will not produce any more offspring. They simply run out of the ability at this point. So what we found is that suitability of crepe myrtle, as we measured it in the laboratory, is dependent on parentage. It's also dependent on mature plant height within parentage. We found that susceptibility and suitability both showed higher aphid populations in the L. indica L. farii hybrids. The differences in suitability seems to be based on longevity. Susceptibility may also be based on longevity in the field, or it could be due to choice. If these aphids are having an adverse effect from feeding on a particular plant, they could get up and move. Some of the future research that we would like to do, there are other species of Logostrimia that are available to us. Some of these have been tested in the laboratory. This Logostrimia speciosa is very interesting because it is not susceptible, and through recent research, it's not suitable. You cannot rear aphids on this. But if you hybridize Logostrimia speciosa with Logostrimia indica, it becomes susceptible and suitable. We can cage them in the laboratory and they do just fine. There's also some preliminary data on tritrophic interactions. I have some data that shows higher mortality to chrysopic larvae that are feeding on aphids that are from these hybrids than the pure L. indica. With that, I will take any questions and thank my advisory committee.
Questions?
Yes.
You said that the chrysopids have a higher predation rate on the aphids that feed on the hybrids, is that correct?
The question was about the chrysopid data. No, the chrysopids have a higher mortality rate. Fewer of them make it to the adult when they feed on aphids that are reared on the hybrids as opposed to the pure L. indica cultivars.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we do know that Logostrimia indica has six alkaloids that have been isolated from it, and so that can be highly suspect in this type of research.
Thank you.